Ohm Connect literally pays you to save energy. Oh, we paid for some more time on this commercial? Okay, then here's a bit more. Ohm Connect is a free service that texts you when you can earn cash back by saving energy. You turn things off for an hour, and we pay. Why? Because California would rather pay you to save energy than dirty power plants to produce more of it. So here's what you can do. Sign up at ohm.co/podcast, and we'll even give you a $10 welcome bonus when you connect your utility account. Let's do something positive for the environment and get paid to do it. That's ohm.co/podcast. Mother Nature says thanks, or grazie, or I actually don't know what language she speaks.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. I'm speaking with Professor Stephen F. Cohen. We're recounting what we can of how Russiagate has turned into accusations flying between Mr. Mueller and the people of Russia about a troll farm in Petersburg, about lying to the FBI because you're married to a Russian oligarch, lying to the FBI about a phone call you might have made or did make or now confess that you made and lied about to a man named Gates, who has no natural connection to the Russiagate allegations of 2016, but is in the circle of people who connected to the Trump campaign. Please continue, Steve. We were talking about the dupes that the special counsel believe the American people have become.
Well, this is what I find more alarming. The underlying theory of the allegation that Russian disinformation corrupted our election and maybe even elected Trump, because they're now saying this, is that American voters are natural dupes. And I'm not making this up. Here's what Kathleen Parker wrote in her column in the Washington Post, that the Russians manipulated American thought. It turns out that the minds of Americans are becoming more, not less, malleable. She goes on to say this is especially true of older, non-white, less educated people.
She says that?
She says that. Charles Blow, in the New York Times on February 19th, yesterday, writing with a different focus, says that the Russians particularly influenced young black people. So this is quite a remarkable supposition on their part, but it gets worse. Here's what Scott Shane wrote in the New York Times yesterday. The Americans who were duped, he uses that word, Americans were duped by the Russian trolls. And then we have, I think even more remarkable, in the New Yorker by Evan Osnos, this statement. At the heart of the Russian fraud is an essential insight. Large numbers of Americans are ill-equipped to assess the credibility of the things they read. Now stop and think what he just said, that a large number of Americans don't know what means or whether it's credible what they read. Now step back a minute. These are the publications of the American elite, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the New Yorker magazine. What this is, and I find it recognizable, is an elite contempt for rank and file American voters. Contempt. They don't think these people are worthy of democracy because they've been duped by Russia into electing Trump. And the reason this resonates with me, John, and I speak now as a historian of Russia, there's been a terribly long and negative tradition of the Russian intelligentsia, this goes back to the 19th century, of regarding the Narod, the Russian word for the people, Narod, with utter contempt, that they can't make wise decisions, they aren't rational, and that therefore they have to be led. This was, by the way, the origins of Lenin's theory of the leadership party. But it continues today in Russia. when you ask these liberal pro-Western Russian members of the intelligentsia, well, how do you explain Putin's popularity? They say, well, the people are stupid. That's their answer. People don't understand. They're stupid. And yet we think of this as something woefully Russian that's afflicted Russian politics for centuries, literally. And yet we see it revealed by Russiagate in the American elite, that Russian disinformation, and in fact, a lot of the stuff that the Russians posted wasn't fake news. It was just unfavorable news reports from American media, unfavorable to Clinton and sometimes to Trump. Them saying that the American voter is incapable of evaluating electoral information really goes at the whole heart of democratic theory, which rests on the assumption that ultimately voters are rational. So that's where this leaves us, and it's really a kind of terrible revelation about our elites.
I'm dumbfounded, Steve. I read The New Yorker, but I don't read the opinion pages of The Washington Post or The New York Times. I read their news columns. I'm dumbfounded in that there's no self-awareness by these young people or people our age, senior people, yep, about their exclusiveness. There's no self-awareness that they live inside a bubble where they only talk to people who are educated as they are. Steve, you know perfectly well I was educated to be one of them, and it's an accident that I did not become so. I am on the air and nationally, and I do speak routinely, but I'm flabbergasted that anyone would write that and that it would be published by his or her editor.
Such are the times. Now, I was semi-inoculated. I grew up in Kentucky. I was educated in Indiana with these very people that they now so denigrate. And I never thought it to be the case.
This is the American people that gave us Franklin Delano Roosevelt, not to be trusted, that gave us Dwight Eisenhower, not to be trusted, that gave us Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton, not to be trusted. What point in history were we to be trusted, we stupid voters?
Well, so here maybe in my fourth discovery might be part of the answer. Almost certainly, and we don't have to get into this tonight, we've talked about it several times, Russiagate was initiated by political actors, either by the Clinton campaign,
Steve, it's the Clinton campaign, it's the DNC. That they not only paid for it, they wrote it.
All right, but I mean, there may have been other political actors. I've suggested that the intelligence agencies played some role, but let's leave that for another layer of evidence. But if the elite media had not immediately jumped on this, as they did in the summer of 2016, when the Steele dossier, with its unverified allegations against Trump in regard to Russia, was being leaked to the media, if the big established national media had not jumped on it, it probably never would have gotten traction, because it was the media that gave it traction, that expanded it, and now promotes it every day. And by the media, I mean not the crackpot fringe media, but I mean the so-called respectable media. That's the New York Times, the Washington Post, Politico to some extent, the New York Review of Books, the New Yorker, CNN, and MSNBC. They put this out every day. So the question becomes here, what has been their role? And remember that they tell us every day that they're the fourth branch of the American government.
Yes.
Democracy depends on their fair and free and balanced and factual and unbiased reporting. But that's not what they've done. This is the subject of a separate study. But their combined loathing for Trump and for Putin's Russia has produced, I would argue, one of the worst instances of media malpractice in the history of American journalism. We can't go into it. And we even leave aside the many, many stories they've had to either correct or retract. But their reporting and their commentary on Russiagate systematically, daily, violates their own professed standards. For example, they practice selective, disproportionate focus on various episodes and ignore others. They write in a prejudicial language. they accept as proven something that isn't.
Well, every time they mention the Steele dossier, hey, the correct way to do it is to say the salacious and unverified Steele dossier, and they leave that part out, though it's a, that it's a quote from Director Comey, who's about to issue a bestseller, and they venerate him as a paragon that was compromised and discarded by Trump. Salacious and unverified every time Steele dossier is mentioned.
But these are the same people, we're talking about the Democrats now, who wanted Comey removed because of his conduct in regard to Mrs. Clinton during the presidential campaign. He was the villain. And now, as you say, what did you call him? A paragon of truth-telling and virtue. But they also exclude alternative evidence. They never permit dissenting views, either on their op-ed pages, opinion pages, or in the sources, so-called, they go to in reporting the stories. They go to themselves, basically. They go to somebody that holds the same views they hold in order to get a, quote, outside expert opinion on what they're reporting. And there are other malpractices, but there's something even more. They think these media, nothing of slurring reputations of people who dissent, they are acting as this media as prosecutors. For example, just today, what is it, February 20th, there appears in the New York Times an article by a man named Kevin Roos, R-O-O-S-E, I don't know who he is, a staffer there, who assails a Facebook vice president. What did this vice president
do? He said 54% of the Facebook ads were after the election. And he said that is a demonstration that there was not large persuasion of the American public by anything Facebook did.
Well, he went on, he took a step farther, and this is what brought the wrath of the Times. You're absolutely right. He reported that. But what he said was that therefore, this vice president who was in charge of studying this, have concluded that swaying, that is influencing the election was, and he wrote in capital letters, not the main goal. Now, Facebook got attacked by the New York Times for what this vice president said, and it immediately capitulated again. Said, well, he didn't mean that, and of course we believe what you're telling us. But the point here is that the power of the media to slur reputations and break powerful institutions, you didn't miss it, I know. But maybe some of your listeners missed it. About a week ago, a very prominent face on MSNBC, a kind of host, literally asked a United States Senator, Christopher Murphy, if because Representative Nunes was demanding that the Republican memo be published, was it possible, he said to this Democratic Senator, that Nunes was a Russian agent. Now, I mean, this is mind-blowing, John. I mean, even McCarthy didn't quite go this far. But on national television, a MSNBC host, and MSNBC is the network of the so-called liberal progressive wing of the Democratic Party, asked a Democratic senator, who's supposed to be a progressive, do you think Republican Representative Nunes is a Russian agent? Now, that's not bad enough. I have to say that the senator's reply wasn't very strong. What he should have done is say, how dare you ask such a question? That's outrageous. That's un-American. We don't do such things in America. But instead, what Senator Murphy said was, and I think I can quote him, gosh, I hope not. I don't have any such information, thereby leaving the question open. What kind of behavior is this? And this is what the media is promoting. And, I mean, we could go into a separate conversation about the way they're now promoting censorship, a kind of big brother censorship to keep so-called Russian disinformation out of the media. What you and I talk about, John, they would regard 50% of it as Russian disinformation.
I want to get to the Democratic Party. Just a moment, Professor.
Come to the narrative.
Professor Stephen F. Cohen, New York University, Princeton University. We want to talk about the new Cold War and how dangerous it is. But right now we're dealing with the fact that the American people are burdened with speakers and writers who believe the American people are not trustworthy to choose their own leaders. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click, so you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/John B. That's ZipRecruiter.com/John B. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/John B.
Ohm Connect literally pays you to save energy. Oh, we paid for some more time on this commercial? Okay, then here's a bit more. Ohm Connect is a free service that texts you when you can earn cash back by saving energy. You turn things off for an hour, and we pay. Why? Because California would rather pay you to save energy than dirty power plants to produce more of it. So here's what you can do. Sign up at ohm.co/podcast, and we'll even give you a $10 welcome bonus when you connect your utility account. Let's do something positive for the environment and get paid to do it. That's ohm.co/podcast. Mother Nature says thanks, or grazie, or I actually don't know what language she speaks.